Well, happy Friday. And that is a little theme song you don't normally hear on Friday because traditionally we do all of our Perspectives programs on Thursday, except during the political season, which is going to be here soon enough, guys, but it's not here yet. We have something even more pressing to talk about today, which is why you are listening to a very special edition of Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for joining us via the radio waves, also the telephone lines, 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809, and the email perspectives@wfsu.org. Or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. And the reason we are having this little conclave today is our community and the entire state of Florida and beyond went through a really traumatic situation here within the past week. And we can recall it was 1 week ago on Friday a week when we were looking at storm tracks and listening to forecasters and watching the tube and listening to the radio and trying to figure out where the heck this probably largest of all Atlantic hurricanes and certainly among the most vicious of all time was going to go, and was it going to impact us and what would happen. It was a scary, scary time for all of us. And now, with that week gone, we are happy to bring in some of the emergency managers and top officials of the city of Tallahassee and Leon County to talk about how it all went down and looking forward how we're going to get ready for the next one. So let's go around the table and meet some great folks. To my left, your right on the radio, it is Deputy City Manager for the City of Tallahassee, Reese Goad. Good to see you again, Reese.
Good to see you, Tom. It's a great day today. Glad to be here.
It is a wonderful day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and that storm is long gone.
Yes, sir.
Okay, a voice that you heard on these airwaves a lot, particularly this past weekend and into the first part of the week, was Director of Emergency Management for Leon County, Kevin Peters. And Kevin, you're still in a vertical configuration. I can't believe it, sir.
Yeah, that's right. It's been a long week, but we're glad to be here this morning, Tom. Thanks for having us.
Okay, and thank you for coming in. Also, the administrator for all of Leon County, and that is Vince Long, and a very busy guy also here there in this past week. Mr. Administrator, good to see you.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having us.
Well, boy, this was just crazy. Why don't we just give a quick recap as to where we are right now, and then we'll do the looking backwards and looking forwards and all that. First, main thing, utility restoration. And Reese Goad, the city of Tallahassee is now, according to the last charts I saw, down to no more than the normal number of outages that you would have on just a typical day. You were down to essentially zero outages related to the storm.
That's exactly right, Tom. So we're fully restored. The guys are out in the field doing cleanup, though. So the work is not done, but we've put our system back together. Our customers are in service. Now we're just experiencing normal outages that we might in any given day. And they're out there ready to address those as well. So we're put back together. We're happy to be ready for the next storm.
Then we have to be one of the only large communities or even small communities in Florida that has essentially total power restoration right now.
That's right. The city was the first, I think, to accomplish that. All the credit goes to the men and the women that raced out there, all of our community partners, to put the city back together as quick as we could. And that happened very quickly.
No kidding. Well, we're going to talk about just how that all went down here in just a little bit. Kevin Peters from the emergency management side, how are we doing? We have now no longer activated the public safety complex out there in Easterwood, where about 140 people were hunkered down during the storm. And now what do you guys do for the aftermath and today? What's the deal?
Yeah, we're in the phases of collecting data now from Reese and some of our other county agencies, putting together the submissions we'll give to the state for our damage assessments, moving into that next phase to hopefully contribute to the FEMA disaster declarations that could come following the storm.
Okay, because we're not under FEMA declaration right now, correct?
The entire state received a public assistance declaration. That's for local governments to address the emergency protective measures such as sheltering and security of the communities, as well as our debris clearance costs. So that's all counties receive that. There are furthermore permanent work type categories as well as the individual assistance program. Those are the data that we're busy collecting, collating, and we'll be submitting that data to the state.
Okay, Vince Long, Florida, Leon County concerned. Government kind of back up to normal. You guys got budgetary stuff and a whole host of other considerations beyond the storm to deal with now, right?
Yeah, I've never seen so many people more happy to be back to their regular jobs. A lot of librarians that are happy to be librarians again, and others. You said, Tom, we were activated for about 136 consecutive hours. And as Kevin mentioned, right after the storm, we were out there with county and city crews doing the assessments that that Kevin talked about for FEMA. And we're still out in the field. And on Monday, we start, and I know the city's already begun, with the very extensive debris pickup process.
All right. You also had a number of shelters that were open, comfort stations, notably the downtown library, some of the other areas. And what's the status on those right now?
We did. We were able to close those in terms of the comfort station that you mentioned that was activated at the main branch library. That was something that we did during Hermine, and it was welcomed by a lot of people and proved to be needed by a lot of folks. So we stood that up right after the storm. We've been able to take that down and fill all the needs that that we met during that time. But you're right, we had 11 shelters open. And we're down to one host shelter, no emergency shelters, one host shelter with, as of this morning, only about 40 people left. And so that's good.
Yeah, we had some folks who came in from outside the area, notably from Jacksonville, some other communities who were escaping Irma and wound up here.
We did. Okay. We certainly did. And, you know, we, as we watched the storm, and you noted that in the introduction, we watched and monitored very closely for about 8 days. And the great majority of that time, we were preparing to be in a host capacity to our fellow Floridians to the south and to the east of us. And very quickly, there in about the last 48 hours before impact to North Florida, we went into a direct impact posture where we went from four shelters to 11 in really a matter of hours. You know, as I'm sure we'll thank a lot of people in this hour, but really one of the ones that I take my hat off to is our superintendent, Rocky Hanna, had a lot to do with making those schools available so quickly. And he and his staff really were among the bright stars during the activation.
I remember it was exactly 1 week ago this afternoon when the chair of the board of Leon County Commissioners, John Daly, was giving a briefing. And again, kudos to city and county government for having those regular briefings in the run-up to the storm, which were very useful. But when John got on the microphone and said, we are now in a voluntary evacuation posture, and immediately the ears went up in our newsroom, like, oh my gosh, this is getting really serious now. So anyway, if you're just joining us, we would love to hear your tale of Irma, for good or ill. 414-1234 is our number on this very special edition of Perspectives, 800-926-8809 if long distance, or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. An email did come. It says, tropical storms are important to our underground water systems. Number two. And there he is going point by point here. Number two, underground utilities take a lot longer to fix. Number three, homesteader ancestors built under live oaks for protection, and that they do provide protection. And number four, Wilbur came through fine. So if you were worried about Wilbur, I think we now can be reassured that he is okay. And any reaction to that, guys?
Tom, yeah, I'd like to react to the, I think it's a great point about our water systems. It's something that that if you lose pressure or you have main breaks or you have issues related to storms, I think we see that in South Florida right now, you end up with boil water notices. You may lose water to your system, which is such a vital resource. We think a lot about electricity, but if your home is without water, you are potentially in danger. It is such an important resource that we provide. And we've been lucky, I think, through good preparation, good planning, and lots of good years of commitment to those systems, that we did not lose our water system and our sewer system during Hermine or Irma this most recently. So those are things that sometimes go unseen. They fly under the radar, but they're just as important, if not more important, than even our electric system. So I appreciate the caller raising that point. It's a good point to make.
Okay, the other one, though, and there was an article, and I'm trying to place it, and I'm very, very sorry. I'd love to give attribution where attribution is due, but I think it was one of the major daily papers in Florida, and there was an analysis by a reporter with an apparent background in electric utilities who, to Wilbur's point, too, here, that underground utilities are not a panacea, whether in Panacea or Tallahassee. We have a situation where it will survive the wind if it's underground, but it may not survive the flood if it becomes a water event rather than a wind event.
Yeah, there are a couple issues, actually. So now, underground utilities are much more resilient to the wind, to your point. I think that's a given, and I think that's a premium. But to the extent you do have flooding, they're an issue, and to the extent you have an outage, they're much more difficult to diagnose the problem and fix it. Overhead lines, it's very visual. You can see where the damage points are. You can rapidly begin to fix it. In fact, we had a repair that was required in our downtown network as part of this storm, and it took longer to fix. In fact, there were numerous attempts to fix it, and eventually we were able to discover the issue, but it took longer to fix, even though it's more resilient to the wind. So there are counterpoints to underground utilities, although they are much more resistant to the wind. I think that's obvious.
Okay. From preparation here, Kevin Peters, your thoughts on that? We got about a minute here. I'll let you know. Better prepared for this one maybe than Hermine last year, you think?
Yeah, well, and the experience is really what plays into it. You know, for a number of years, nowhere in the state hit by a hurricane. A lot of our plans were developed on theories and ideas, and we had a chance to practice, and we've had trainings and exercises. But that the experience to work through all the parts of the plan and figure out where we needed to make the improvements, yeah, definitely it was a real benefit, the experience from Hermine. And it's going to sound weird. I think fortunately for us, we've had a close event to test those. Had we gone another 5 or 10 years, that's what we said we could do after Hermine. You know, it probably sounds great on paper. This gave us the chance to truly test it and show ourselves, show the community that we did make the changes, and they were the right changes.
Yeah, that experience of Hermine was still fresh in everyone's mind. Plus, you hadn't had a lot of turnover in city and county and emergency management and all that. Those folks had kind of undergone that baptism of fire, and they were a little bit better prepared when this one rolled around. We're talking about the aftermath of what was Tropical Storm Irma when it came blowing through Florida's capital city just a little over a week ago. We'd love to hear from you at 414-1234. Tell us your story, 800-926-8809, or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We are back on a very special edition of Perspectives. That's why you're listening to it on Thursday and you're thinking, no, wait. This is a Friday, isn't it? Yes, it is. And we're doing a very... Well, it's an important addition to the programming because we have so much to talk about in the aftermath of Tropical Storm Irma and its impact here on our area and the folks who are in the best position to give an assessment of that impact are here sitting around the table, the administrator of Leon County, Vince Long, our emergency management director for the county, Kevin Peters, and Reese Goh, deputy city manager here for the city of Tallahassee. And Vince, I wanted to ask you about something. Now, this was something else. It was kind of different from the way that we handled Hermine in that you, despite the number of people who work for local government, we are a government town, you only have limited resources when it comes to emergency response and meeting the needs of the community. And you guys kind of threw all of the job descriptions out the window when this one hit. Tell us about that.
Well, we do. We have a lot of folks that are cross-trained and that prepare with Kevin and his good folks at emergency management throughout the year so that we do have the right amount of hands on deck. There are a lot of people who I said may be shelving books or who may be filling potholes or spraying for mosquitoes or any number of things throughout the year who put on their emergency management hat during the activation and really do an excellent job. We learn a lot about our employees during these times. And our public works crews, who I can't say enough about. I know that's – most folks say, well, we understand that they're out there. But, you know, we ask a lot of them during these times. And I know Reese and the city manager, Rick Fernandez, my friend, they understand this as well. We ask them to embed before the storm. So we know our vulnerabilities, and that's one of our important things to know going into these storms. And we mentioned trees here today, and certainly – we saw a lot of people in Florida isolated by floodwaters. And for us, a lot of our folks could be potentially isolated by downed trees. So we put our public works crews, we station them before the winds start blowing their hardest and put them out in the unincorporated areas and oftentimes and so that they're in the area ready to respond as quickly as possible. And that takes a toll. And when we go to those Alpha Bravo shifts, again, for our public works folks who are there overnight, sometimes for many nights. And then as soon as we can get them out there, when it's safe to put them out there, they start doing labor-intensive, time-consuming stuff that's dangerous to begin with, but particularly dangerous under those conditions.
And you got that sense of isolation, too, because you don't have the backup of a big infrastructure and other people to help you out there. You're kind of on your own. Well, certainly Leon County and the city of Tallahassee, not the only entities that were impacted by this storm. The surrounding counties also got whacked, and we have some calls that are lining up here from the outlying counties. Let's check in with Elaine first. There on line one. Hi, Elaine. Welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I like your show.
Thank you. Yes, go right ahead, ma'am.
Well, I'm a Red Cross volunteer and got called that we needed some help and got sent down to Perry, Florida, and got a chance to be of service by managing a shelter there. Had a great group of volunteers. The National Guard had to come in and help us because we were so short of volunteers. And we managed to keep everything going. It was kind of a rough go. We had some major glitches, and that always happens at a time like this. But we all pulled together, and at the height of the storm, we had about close to 400 people sheltering at Taylor County Elementary School.
Oh, my gosh. Now, were there enough resources there to take care of those folks as far as meals and all that, Elaine?
Well, Saturday, businesses and stuff were starting to close down in anticipation of the storm. And the Red Cross had been coordinating with local restaurants to get food brought in for the people in the shelter. And the restaurants that we had set up meals for on Saturday closed the restaurants and didn't let us know. And so we had no lunch service that day, and we didn't know until it didn't show up. So we had to kind of scramble, and luckily one of our National Guardsmen, Specialist Joud, J-O-U-D is his last name, he is a chef when he is not serving in his National Guard capacity, and he pulled an emergency impromptu kitchen, and the Taylor School District allowed us to go into their kitchen and pantry. We kept track of what we used so that the Red Cross could reimburse them. But we pulled together a lunch for those people, and it was just amazing. Not only was it a joy to see people feel better and feel safer and feel comforted, but to be able to overcome those kind of chaotic obstacles that always pop up was just the way this group of people that I got to work with pulled together. And we had so many people that were sheltering there who saw that we were so short-staffed, and they just came forward to help us. And there's just so many people. I wish I could name them all for you. But we had just the best bunch of people in that shelter, and they were just patient, beyond patient, when things didn't go right. And I noticed that a lot of the people in the shelter during the storm, when things got a little bit unnerving with the wind and the rain pounding so hard, and then we lost power in the night, and they went and checked on their neighbors and neighboring cots and the whole community. It was like a little community. We became a village, and we all pulled together and helped each other. I mean, we had people who were sheltering there help clean bathrooms because we had a couple bathrooms that backed up and didn't work anymore. And we had to get real creative. We had our shelter residents spread out over three buildings.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Elaine, what a great story. And thank you for the shout out to the other folks who helped with that response down there in Taylor County under certainly less than ideal situations. And I think, guys, everyone here has a story of personal kindness and heroism. And there's a lot of bad stuff, too. But my gosh, a disaster like this can bring out the best in people as well as the worst.
Yeah. And what Elaine's talking about, that's an example. You know, we talked about experience. The National Guard, we found during Matthew the massive evacuations that took place along the East Coast. That was the first opportunity they had, the first event that they had the opportunity to help with sheltering. That's one of those takeaways from Matthew. And this year, even here in Leon County, we had National Guardsmen in our community helping our Red Cross with our local shelters. So that's one of those lessons learned statewide that was now applied this year. And yeah, and that is another challenge for our region, though, the small counties. We, you know, very rural for this North Florida area, and it's easy to overwhelm and tap out the resources. So, you know, I think this National Guard team that came in there, just like the ones here, very huge benefit and a great lesson learned from the experiences of Matthew last year.
Okay, next call up here is Rhonda, and Reese, go listen to this because I think it has to do with utilities. Hi, Rhonda. Thank you for your patience. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi, good morning. I have a lot of different feelings about how we, as a community, handled the storm situation. But what mostly affects me is my husband is a line clearer. He does tree work. And they have been out working 16 to 20-hour shifts getting lines, you know, cleared of debris so that the power companies can come in and, you know, do their work. And some of the stories that he has been telling me break my heart. I've tried to be extremely positive through all of this. We live in Jefferson County. Our power just came on. So, you know, I understand people's frustrations, but some people have been coming out and verbally abusing and harassing the people, the very people that are trying to help them. You know, my husband, they were working last night, and it was, I think he said it was about 11:45, and they were in the neighborhood, and they were clearing trees, and a gentleman came out and just started hollering at him and asking him why they haven't gotten his power turned on and all of that. And, you know, my husband, he was just, you know, well, sir, all we can do is, you know, the tickets that we're given, you know, we go and work those tickets so the power company can come back. What people have to realize, these guys, these men and these women that are out there working, they also have families. They are in the same situation that you are. And unfortunately, their households are being put on hold to help your household. So I just wish people would be a little more patient with them and feel a little more, not going to say grateful, but appreciative.
That makes a lot of sense, Rhonda. Thank you for that reminder, because people do get frustrated, and Reese, you know, this was particularly last year. I remember some otherwise very rational and reasonable people after Hermine, after 3, 4, 5 days of no electricity, they were starting to get kind of snarky on outlets like Facebook and personal interactions with people because the power wasn't back on again. And there's a way that this has to be done.
Yeah, Tom, you know, frustrations begin to show sometimes. But, Rhonda, I want you to hang in there, because I know that it takes a full support network for the men and women to be out in the field. They leave their families behind. Their families have to pull the weight for long days ahead. I'm sure your husband will be working many, many more days, probably weeks related to this storm, and we appreciate his service. And I will tell you that I've been the personal recipient of so many good comments. So this is not all negative. In fact, I think that is the very few. People recognize the hard work of the men and women out there. They appreciate it. And I will tell you, as soon as the power comes back on, the attitudes change quickly. So hang in there. I personally appreciate your comments because I think it's indicative of everything we talked about. It takes a broad network of support. It takes community support. Tom, I'd like to give you and Regan and Lynn a shout out because you guys did the same thing. You slept overnight. You hunkered down. You were here to support the community. I think it just crosses over all kinds of boundaries, whether it's the family, the community, even the government. I think we all pitched in. So hang in there, Rhonda.
Yeah, we keep this artificial division between people and government, and yet we are the government. and it's people that make up the government. And as Rhonda said, she didn't get power back. There, her husband is helping clear the way for the line crews and everything else. They don't get the power back any faster than anybody else. It's all done with that restoration plan. Although it seems as though And kudos to you and Rob McGarren, all the folks who were working with the city utilities. But it seemed as though the response plan here, again, honed maybe in the fires of Hermine, it just seemed to come off like clockwork. Was it because there was less physical damage to the network or better planning or the fact we had Ohio, Nebraska, and Louisiana out there helping us or what?
Well, I think there are a number of things, and I'd love to get others' comments on this. And there's just so many pieces that came together. I think the community as a whole was prepared. And I can tell you there was an energy about the linemen that I could hardly hold back. They wanted to get in the field and restore power. It just was an amazing feeling. Even today, as they're down in Gainesville, and I'm sure to be headed further south, that you could not hold them back from doing their job. They're a rare breed, and I think we should all be proud of them. But it was a team effort across the board.
Okay. One thing that we also seem to do better this time with, in the wake of not only Hermine, but, and Vince, you remember this, all the county projects that were the Tropical Storm Fay kicked Absolutely. Off as far as stormwater retention and diversion and all that kind of thing. I didn't see much of any flooding from this. This was not a major water event, but still, we always get some.
Sure. And, you know, you're absolutely right. And all of these, you know, we sometimes fall into the trap of comparing the last storm to the one before that. And they all test us differently. And they can even look a lot alike. And but every storm, they test our partnerships, they test our vulnerabilities different. And they can even drop rain in different places and that sort of thing. We were lucky on the rain this time around, and but again, what we did have is we had about 7.5 more hours of sustained winds than even in Hermine, and I heard somebody describe it as pulling on a tooth back and forth relative to what it does to the trees and loosening them up over a period of time, and that is a particular vulnerability. Again, that we had, and I think one of the benefits of Hermine is anecdotally, I think that it cleared out a lot of the dead stuff that had been hanging around for a really long time in the community. And I think that's something that we all observed in the cleanup and are continuing to observe in the cleanup.
Bob's hanging on a cell phone here. Let's get right to him. Go ahead, Bob. Welcome to Perspectives.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. Years ago, 1969 to be exact, I was working at the Tallahassee Democrat when Hurricane Camille appeared to be approaching Tallahassee. And I was told, call the city to find out how well fortified the power plant in St. Mark's is in case the storm surge hits. And I was reassured, don't worry, we have sandbags and so forth. Well, Camille veered to Biloxi in Pass Christian, Mississippi, and the storm surge was 22 feet. There, that's not to say it would have been here, but my question would have been, you know, the storm surge never really materialized. The opposite happened. The wind blew the water out. How well fortified is the St. Mark's power plant? Because if it was knocked out, what would happen? It might be a minor thing compared to having a few power lines down.
Well, but boy, that's for sure. But I remember, Rhys Goad, in 2004, Hurricane Dennis caused a backup in the St. Marks River, and there was 5.5 feet of water in downtown St. Marks. I know my band was supposed to play at Posey's that weekend. Luckily, our equipment was not in Posey's when it hit. But how is St. Marks as far as storm surge?
Well, Bob, that's an excellent question. The Purdom plant that sits on the St. Marks River is vulnerable to storm surge, and we watched it very closely in this storm. But the system as a whole, we have redundancy. So we actually have more generation available to us at our Hopkins plant in western Leon County. So to the extent we have to shut down Purdom, which we did in this case, to protect against the storm surge and further damage, we have access to other resources, which we did not have in 1969. So it's more of a system approach because we do know we have natural vulnerabilities dependent upon geography and other issues. That's an excellent question.
Okay, thank you. To Beth we go here. Well, I'll tell you what. Beth, why don't you hang on the line here so we can take you in full fettle right after this next upcoming break. We want to remind you, though, if you would like to provide even more input to city and county officials, emergency managers, and so forth, you have two opportunities to do that this coming week. These are community meetings, both starting at 6 in the evening on Monday. Walker Ford Community Center is the place. That's on Pasco Street, in case you don't know. And then on Thursday, September 21st, the Leon County Eastside Library Branch on Pedrick Road will be the scene. Both of them starting at 6. You're going to have city and county staff available to take input from you. What worked? What didn't work so well? They want to hear from you. And we'll be back with more calls, your emails, and Vince Long and Kevin Peters and Reese Goad here from the city and the county to talk about our storm recovery efforts and what lies ahead right here on a very special edition of Perspectives. On Perspectives. And before we go to Beth, a reminder that you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Just go to our website. New, improved, more user-friendly, more content, all kinds of wonderful things. Click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and then pop Perspectives. We archive past shows. Again, we're a little light in the social media and website maintenance right now, but we hope to have everything up for you at least on Monday so you can go back and hear the entire program. And if you are just joining us, this is kind of the aftermath of Irma with City of Tallahassee and Leon County officials here with us. And we are joined by Beth. Hello, Beth. Thanks for calling. Welcome to Perspectives.
Well, hello. Glad to be here. Glad to have your show and your radio station to help me get through the storm. I'm from Miami, and I live in Miami Beach, Aventura area, which is North Miami Beach. I'm about a quarter mile off the beach, off the coast. And I came up here to Tallahassee because I used to live here, and my husband and I still have a house up here. And I came here last week to get my new renters in and my old ones out, and next thing I knew, I couldn't leave and couldn't go back home. And I just want to, I have nothing but good things to say. I have no television with me. All I had, I brought my radio, my batteries. I happened to keep a storm radio in my car. And so I had that, brought it in, and was able to use that. And I have nothing but good things to say. I was in shock that you all had anything from what we were expecting and went through down there. Because I went to the store Tuesday a week ago, or Walmart, and I was going in there to get a few things up here in North Thomasville Road, and I saw this line of people, and I'm like, well, what's everybody in line for? And they were all waiting to get water. And then I went to Home Depot, and there was people waiting to get generators, and I'm practically laughing under my breath thinking, these people are nuts. They're not going to get here. I didn't buy any water. I didn't prepare, and I'm on a well here. And then I started listening more to your radio station and hearing the warnings, and my neighbors, I'm on 3.5 acres. It's a house kind of in the woods up here. And my neighbors checked on me, and I went to them and said, is this for real? And they said, yeah, prepare. You're going to be out of electric for probably a week. So by the time I got that news flash, I did not have any extra batteries or prepared. But I had went and got Ziploc bags and filled them with water, put them in the freezer. I got ice. I went and was able to get gas up my car, and I made it through the storm. And I had no electricity for 2.5 days, and I have not had water, and it's not because of utilities. It's because I'm on a well that backed up my septic backed up right before Irma came through here. And I called to get help, and they said, we can't come out now. So I've been without three toilets I have here. I haven't been able to use any of them or showers or anything, but my septic guys did come out. They were wonderful. Everybody cared about my situation, and I couldn't be more pleased with the people of Tallahassee. I used to live here, and I loved it, and unfortunately had to move, and now I'm in Miami. My husband's job is there on South Beach in a hotel, and we're just very grateful for the way I've been treated being here.
Oh, well, it turned out to be more of a protracted homecoming, perhaps, than you had anticipated, Beth, but it's good to have you back home. And if I'll tell you, if everyone had that same kind of cheerful, upbeat, and positive outlook that you have just articulated, I think we'd be able to get through a lot more than what we think we can.
That has helped me my whole life, but the people around me that have helped me here, Big Ben Septic, the owner, I called him. I was practically in tears. I don't know anything about septic. What is happening here? And he explained to me, he spent time with me on the phone. He's been here for 20 years, something like that. And he really explained. His guys came out. They were super sharp, super nice. I had a bigger problem, but they showed me what was going on and really helped me. And then they said, you need a plumber. Call the plumber. He came out. He was wonderful. Still not finished. He has to come out again today. But I'm telling you, I just really and at home, my husband said, don't come back. We still have no AC. But he just got electric back yesterday. And we're in a high rise. There's 25 floors in my condominium. We're on the fourth floor. We got only 2 inches of water on the big patio outside, but our storm shutters, they're storm shutters, not hurricane shutters. My husband didn't know what to do with them. He put them down. You're not supposed to. And I don't really know what they're for, except for I have no idea.
Well, for decorative purposes anyway.
Yes,
Beth, Beth, I hope you have a safe trip back to Miami. Thanks so much for checking in with us here on Perspectives. And that was something else, though, that Kevin Peters, you kept preaching and preaching and preaching in the wake of Ermine and in the run-up to Irma, the fact that there's an awful lot of stuff that people can do in advance. It does not have to be done in the 48 hours before the storm hits. So maybe this is a good time for folks to not only revise the plan, but for the non-perishables, get those stocks in. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Well, disaster could strike at any time of the year. So to wait right before something happens, it doesn't help you if we have severe storms or if there were a wildfire that affected some part of the county. And being ready all year long is the key. And working throughout the year, every time you go to the grocery store, getting a little extra, a couple cans of this, maybe another bottle of water of this. One thing that Beth hit on that's real important, before the storm, we had water service. As Reese said, we never lost our water system. And I know Beth's situation was a little different, but she talked about putting water in Ziploc bags and freezing them. There's no reason why you can't use other containers you have in your home to collect that water before the storm. We know there's a run on a lot of the water supplies at the grocery stores, but it's that kind of outside the box thinking. Using the resources you have can go a long way to staying resilient when these impacts come to our area.
Yeah, and if you're going to go even that extra mile, and Vince, I think you've been preaching on this one too, such as the emergency generators that now everyone is determined, I'm not going down the next time. That number one, unless you really, really, really know what you're doing and have a background in this, it is really advisable to get professional advice and help in getting this all set up and integrated into your system. Beyond, don't put the stupid thing in your garage, whatever you do, right?
Absolutely. That's something that we are very concerned about, and we do talk about year-round. Our EMS folks are have a heightened awareness of that to make sure that you know how to properly use them and that sort of thing. Obviously, they can be a real convenience for you when you need them. But I was thinking about what Beth was saying as well. They're relative to maybe seeing some of the shelves empty. And for us in the EOC, you know, that was a little bit of music to our ears a little bit because it meant people were paying attention and it meant people were preparing even right up to the storm. And it's something that we observed was that in addition to all the public workers that were working the storm, we seemed to have a community that was really listening. And one of the things that we knew we could do better after Hermine was communications. And that was something to have WFSU hardwired into the EOC was big. But we had our Citizen Connect app at the county, and I know the cities as well. It exploded with downloads. We had over 1 million impressions on social media. We had 300 radio spots and 16 billboards that were up pretty quickly. But when I drove around the community, well before we started experiencing the impacts of the storm, the streets were empty. I mean, people really were listening. And again, even though it was a little frustrating on some of the shelves getting a little bare to us, it was music to our ears that people were gearing up. And I can't say enough about how well the community was prepared.
Okay, but the other thing that we maybe need to work on a little bit are these. I was telling some of the guys out in the lobby before we started, I've heard the term now gas locusts come into play. And that was the roving bands of folks who were just looking for the last drops of gasoline to keep their tanks topped off, to the point that they're communicating on social media. They're through tweets and instant messaging. They're saying things like, oh my gosh, a truck just delivered gas to the gate on Magnolia, and suddenly you have 75 cars lined up, and they may only be down a couple, 3 gallons, but they're topping off, and as soon as they drain that one, they're off to the next one, and suddenly you have more than half of our facilities here in town that have no gas because of this. And everyone wants to have a full tank, for sure, but you're wasting a lot of gas driving around trying to find the last couple gallons. So maybe that's something we need to work on as people. There's nothing local government can do about that, certainly, but I just thought, that's different. I'd never seen that before.
Yeah, a different age that we live in, and these social media tools and the way to communicate, a very good crowdsourced ability to communicate for needs. But I think our chairman urged this in some of our press briefings. Be respectful of our community's neighbors and use only what you need so there's enough to go around for everyone.
Yeah. And well, shout out also to businesses who you and all you guys mentioned this, that we have had all kinds of local firms particularly, but also chains, you know, general managers of places like Lowe's and Home Depot and stuff, really, really diving in here and trying to help with both the preparation. And now I understand there's a lot of leftover food from a football weekend that never happened. So some local businesses and restaurants are going to be doing some specials here this weekend. So, but a lot of people helping out government with some of those needs. Anyone that you want to give a shout out to, guys, since we're giving kudos here today?
Well, I think I'm looking at Reese because we live this, but I think Costco is always a great community partner. I mean, they really stepped up big. Sodexo, the new vendor at Florida State University, was very big during the storm. And let me just say on that note that you know, President Thrasher and Florida State University, notwithstanding everything that they have to worry about on their campus alone during an event like this, couldn't have been more community-minded during this event and really stepped up and really were right there with us all throughout this event. But you're right. We had our business folks step up in a big way. We had business representatives and folks who coordinated with our area businesses in the EOC on dedicated lines with our business folks, and we really couldn't have done it without them.
Okay. Well, we already talked about the upcoming double community input session, the one at Walker Ford on Monday and the one out the East Side Library branch on Thursday. But I imagine that there's going to be now a lot of postmortems, a lot of meetings, what we did, what we didn't. Where do we go here for the city, Reese?
So we've already started a department-by-department after-action review. That would be very standard practice. And I think one of my colleagues, Cynthia Barber, she said it best that, you know, we learned a lot of lessons. We took a lot from Hermine in particular. It was such an impactful storm. We put a lot of those things in motion. I think we've talked about that today. That helped us in this case. Vince mentioned earlier, every storm is situational, but we learned a lot and we put it into motion. I think that's what's expected of us. We will learn from this. There are things that we identified and will identify in the coming weeks that will make us better. There's no doubt in my mind about that. So it starts at the work group level, and we'll move up. We'll get feedback from the community, and we'll put those on the list to do for the next time. We'll be even better prepared.
Okay, same deal with emergency management then, Kevin.
Exactly. You know, after today, get back to the office. Excuse me. Scheduling some of those meetings, that's on my to-do list. You ask some how the EOC is working now that we've ramped down. It's the administrative parts, the follow-ups, the meetings. So most definitely with our different work groups, we'll be, just as Reese said, you know, looking for those improvements and ways to streamline our processes.
All right. And, of course, Leon County, same deal, Vince.
Well, right after Hermine, we wanted to extract every possible lesson learned from that. We came up with a report in the weeks that followed, which had 100 findings and 80 specific recommendations, 94% of which were in place for Irma. And we'll do the same on this one as well. And our listening sessions, even though we've got professionals that are picking our details apart at the granular level, we'll hear things out there from people who were impacted in different ways that we don't know. And we got a lot of that from our first round of listening sessions after Hermine, so we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, it certainly was a difference, though. And I think you said it, Kevin, when you have that big a gap between events mm-hmm. that you have to be ready for and Florida, golly, yeah, we had Faye. In 08, but we hadn't had anything since those unrelenting storms of 04 and 05, and you forget a lot, or the technology changes, or many other things move on, and how do you respond now? So you don't want to have another one, maybe just a little teeny tiny one next year to see if these refinements, you know, are actually doing what you want them to, but you got to practice this stuff.
I think Irma was probably the best worst case scenario we could have had. It was close enough to the last event and Reese hit on it. We didn't have very much change in staff. As the administrator said, we had a very comprehensive review of our response, and we were able to really test it, not through a scenario with artificial timeframes. We had the real stress of a real event. Remember, we were under a hurricane warning, which means we could expect hurricane conditions. Fortunately, we didn't. But this was as real as it could get for us at just the right time. And in the end, again, it was the best worst-case scenario for
which
us.
Which leads to the last question then. Are we ready for whatever this would be, the big one?
I can tell you, Tom, we're ready. We don't want it. I'm going to go with your teeny. I'm going to go with the teeny idea, but we're ready. I think the community is ready. It demonstrated that. All of our partners, the partnership with Leon County, the universities, hospitals, go down the list. It was so great. I think the workforce is prepared. The community is prepared. We'll just hope that it doesn't come.
Yeah, you don't want to have a situation like what they're experiencing right now in the Keys, or woe betide some of the Caribbean islands that were essentially wiped off the map, and they lost just about all public and private infrastructure on there. But still, it's nice to know that if the worst-case scenario hits, at least you can respond somehow.
Yeah, Reese said it, Tom. Let me put it this way. I wouldn't want to be in any other community. I mean, having our experience in the EOC with, again, 43 agencies in one place and being able to work with with the city manager and his staff and ours and all of the other folks to know – to have a plan is great, but to know what your assets are in the moment and how to deploy those in a coordinated fashion, I think we are as ready as we can possibly be. And we'll continue to get better from Irma.
Well, again, from our aspect here and being part of the partnership in this, the communications and the information distribution part of the thing, I want to thank people like Allison Ferris and Matt Cavell, who are sitting in our little bubble back there with Taylor and Kim right now, because they kept us in the loop and were providing us with the information we needed to distribute to the community, because that's what it's about. Reese Goad, Kevin Peters, Vince Long, well done, gentlemen, and thank you guys on behalf of WFSU and the people of Tallahassee for a very wonderful performance during and after Irma. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance today by Taylor and Kim. And I'm Tom. Next week, an update on what's happening in North Florida's largest and perhaps most important river basin. And we're going to have a conversation with some folks who spend much of their lives exploring that river. It's all coming up next week, next Thursday, right here on Perspectives.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.